Je luistert naar de Welcome to Interesting Times podcast. Mijn naam is Eveline de Jonge en samen met Sis Jozip, Eveline Claire en Jonne Verhoog doe ik onderzoek naar makers uit Haagse broedplaatsen als onderdeel van het Ground Festival. Dit kunstfestival vindt op zaterdag 17 maart plaats op 3 locaties in het centrum van Den Haag, met als thema Welcome to Interesting Times. Maar is deze tijd wel zo interessant? Wij vroegen het aan Haagse makers die, de een uitgesproken, de ander meer subtiel, sociaal betrokken of politiek en activistisch te werk gaan. Uitgangspunt van het gesprek met deze makers is de door Sis geschreven tekst. Een link naar die tekst vind je terug in de beschrijving van deze podcast. Het werk van de makers die wij spreken is op zaterdag 17 maart te zien in de Gray Space in Den Haag. Dit keer gaan we, in het Engels, het gesprek aan met David Powell. Hij werkt in een voormalig schoolgebouw aan de Ferdinand Bolstraat in de Schilderswijk in Den Haag. In het klaslokaal van David staat een veelheid van modellen. Zo zijn er dichtgetimmerde huisjes te zien, die volgekalkt zijn met grove teksten, en installaties met foto's van mensen die letterlijk kruipend naar huis gaan na het stappen. Na een korte rondleiding steken we van wal.
Is there one of the sentences in the text that really struck you or relates to your art practice? Or
I think there are quite a number of things that struck me. I mean, it's a very long text with a lot of questions. So in a sense, it first appears very, very general. Mm-hmm. So immediately I zoom in onto things that kind of trigger me, of course, in my own practice, and of course, perhaps from some of the more extreme aspects of the text, especially mm-hmm. with things like hate crime and all this kind of, and divisive politics and stuff like this. The very first question, though, do you think we live in an interesting time? That kind of perplexed me for a bit, and I had, the only answer I could come up with that was there ever a time when things were not interesting?
When I looked at the text, there goes my English. I onderstreept some lines.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So I had two for you. One is, have the arts been fully adapted to function in the entertainment industry, or is there a lasting effort to grasp what we can't see yet see?
Yes. Well, I think the entertainment industry and art, I think, I mean, it's obviously since the 60s and with pop and that whole explosion of access, away from, say, more abstract approaches in making art and more, yeah, I think the accessibility factor really came into play. And I guess, but for me, there's a difference between being very flat and one-dimensional about things and, say, making a space around things like content or things like, you know, in my case, extreme politics or bad behavior and things like this. So,
And is this then an effort to grasp what we can't see? Well, it's really in your face if you look
yeah,
at a sign that says Kant
yeah.
on a house.
Yeah,
but
that's true. The thing with Kant on a house, it's again, I have to get back to what that work represents. It's a model. And a model is, again, a kind of harbinger of the past, present, and future. So this kind of fiction, I like the way fiction always seeps into everyday life. So they're kind of microcosms of everyday life in a way. But again, they are, the scale of them is very important, that they give a room for, say, speculation.
And can you explain what you mean by a model is the past, future, and present?
Yeah, I think I would have to cite, there's a lovely text called Kitchens, which is written in 2009 by Maria Lind. She's a very well-known director of IASPIS Space in Sweden. Of course, she's written loads of amazing texts and collaborated with, you know, very well-known artists all over the world. She talks about the model as a kind of, there's a potential in it. Because we're not looking at, say, it's different from a sculpture, and precisely because it's got this kind of speculative aura around it, that when you look at it, first of all, you can start relating it to the scale of the space you're in, maybe even the building you're in, and maybe the city you're in. So it's like this, it's like, you know, a stone drops in a lake or something and the ripples start going out. I think a model is a little bit like this. It creates waves of associations.
Mm-hmm. Because it's, like, I can imagine this standing in the world outside, you mean, and
yeah.
Now I'm looking at it as a model and it won't change anymore. You kind of fixed this version of the site
yeah.
before it got cleaned or whatever? Or
I mean, there is something about if foreclosed buildings and austerity and this idea of certain political discontent running through the economy, running through all kinds of economic transactions and all this kind of stuff. That little sculpture actually represents a toll booth. And a toll booth is something that you see them at garages, and some guy or a lady might be working in there for 50 years, you know, in a little room like this. So I think what is very funny about it is to kind of play with that fiction and board up. That door looks like it's been boarded up. The windows have got that whitewash thing behind it that, you know, you don't know what's going on in there. And someone has labelled this, put a tag or a, yeah, vandalised it with the word cunt. So that's a pretty aggressive thing to do, but it just makes you wonder about the kind of fictions at play. I find that super interesting. I mean, given that you might be in a box for like 30-odd years doing the same thing, I think it would drive anybody nuts. But yeah, so maybe this guy pissed someone off. It's in the air. It's like a kind of fantasy. It's also kind of narrative. It's also something you see played out a lot in movies and TV series and things like this. But this, it's like a transaction, yeah? So you go through a toll booth and then you're in a car park and you leave your vehicle, you go out, do your shopping, you do whatever, and you go back and maybe, yeah, something might happen.
So the model represents the story of this person.
Yeah, and it's a story that I do not spell out completely. It's up to your imagination to figure out what that might be. I mean, I've got my own associations and things like this.
But you choose to, because I'm looking at a lot of these models, all with quite harsh language on it, and things you can imagine in, well, some kind of neighborhood that's like not the best neighborhood ever. Or is it only because of the story, like the contrast between a person working in a box and then a person saying, well, cunt? Or is it about people vandalizing stuff?
Well, vandalism, I mean, traditionally vandalism is an aggressive act, but it's also a creative one. So I find that quite interesting, if you think about it. I mean, it's also the violation of an object or the violation of a building in some way, and why people like to target buildings and do this, I've always been quite amazed by it. But I think someone like Gustave Courbet, proposed demolishing some kind of war memorial or something like this in the I think it was in mid 19th century. It was a symbol of war, a celebration of war, and he thought this was just bullshit, and he wanted to propose actually dismantling the monument. So it's kind of, you know, vandalism starts to come, and especially around the age of Industrial Revolution, and especially around this idea that suddenly classes start to break down, and things like art and access, they just start to widen up. And this is about people's working lives. So I'm very interested in this kind of idea that the Industrial Revolution also brought about a lot of benefits and a lot of new technologies and a lot of consumer things that we take for granted today. But it also brought a lot of misery and pain and suffering along with it too. I mean, workers' rights, things like this.
Would you call them activists?
Well, the point when you see things like God Will Burn Gay Scum, BLM, NF, White Power, Ship Stabbers, Fags, Whore, all this kind of stuff, I'm working with a representation, and I'm making a re-representation of that in a model. So there's this kind of reduction of the impact of it, because literally you see it on a model. But it's also, it is a kind of a humorous, I mean, humor is also a way of coping with terrible situations, and Freud has also been writing about this, you know, for quite a while, that there are all these different registers and levels of humour. It's kind of sarcastic, biting humour, and there's subtle humour. These are somewhere in the very, very biting, cynical kind of humour. And I'm kind of interested in that kind of energy as well. But it's also about why people, with this whole kind of right-wing movement that's going on, and all these kind of hate crimes and things, I'm kind of, in a way, to deal with it, to deal with the terrible misery it causes or the kind of people it victimizes. For me, it's about turning it also into the institution itself. So when I worked with these things in Sissy's space, I did not want to project these things back onto the street. It was actually to turn it back into the institution. And it's also a kind of question there, if you think about it, about how are our institutions dealing with things like, you know, extreme politics. So there's that.
Simple as that.
Yeah, it's not simple. It's actually very complicated. And I think bad behavior, I mean, again, around the time of the Industrial Revolution, you had people like Emil Durkheim, very famous Austrian sociologist. Again, back to the Industrial Revolution, but he saw all these kind of problems, but he did acknowledge that good and evil, or, you know, bad behavior and good behavior, they can't exist separately in society. You can't have one without the other. So you can't, there is no justice without, say, injustice. You have to have both sides of the same coin. So that's kind of what I'm really interested in.
And your work is a way of giving a form to these kind of thoughts.
Yeah, you could say that, so. Yeah.
So it's reflective work, I guess. On the
this is speculative work. It's reflective. It's hysterically funny.
And who do you want to see these works? Do you want to see, like, you called a lot of names of all these intellectuals?
Yeah.
And is it art for intellectuals, or is it?
Does it look like art for intellectuals? That's the the accessibility factor, that anyone can access this. Someone who doesn't know anything about art, or Emil Durkheim, or, you know, intellectual movements, or active, anybody can access this work. You do not need to be an intellectual to get into this work. What I would really like, there's enough associations in there and enough space that I construct around these motifs that you can, reconsider them, think about them.
Yeah, so that's, it's like a conversation piece.
Absolutely, yeah, it is.
And how would you describe yourself as an artist then, or as a person? Do you think as an activist, or would you describe yourself socially engaged, or?
Yeah, I think maybe all those things. I'm getting more and more interested in activism, but not necessarily from being a do-gooder or something like this. It's a really amazing article I found written in The Guardian last August, and it's written by somebody called Mika White. Mika White was the founder of the Occupy movement that, of course, had all these occupation things all over the world in thousands of locations. But he's writing about it and the idea of activism as a kind of failure. And what interests me about that is, why did it fail? And he talks about this idea now of protest is somehow you physically go somewhere and protest and you try to affect change. But what he's got very disappointed with, and what I can see is kind of happening too, is that protest becomes a kind of marketing online presence, you know, and it loses its kind of original intentions of making change. And now it becomes, just getting the right number of likes or something like this. So it's really funny how protest as a kind of signifier is actually losing a lot of its original impact and a lot of its original intention. So I think to try and get, he talks about physicality being very important in protest.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting to see someone, you know, such an amazing person, such ideals and wanting to change the world and capitalism and all these kind of things, suddenly reaching another kind of halt or a stop and trying to readdress the situation because he thinks it's all gone wrong.
So does he stop protesting then, or is he?
Yeah, you should read the article. It's super interesting. What I'm interested within, again, with these for me, the figures that are halting or stopping in a lot of the images, either through drugs or, you know, whatever you want to call it. There's another development that's going on with, especially work like this. I mean, I made these photos of my own students in 2013. Didn't know what the hell to do with them. I photographed them in the academy, but for some reason I was asking them to sit down or lie down on the floor. I wasn't really thinking of protest, but maybe subconsciously I was. So it's funny how this kind of, another kind of fiction of the body in a certain kind of fixed or halting situation. I'm kind of interested in that it's not necessarily wearing its badge of honor of protest. Something else is happening. And I like this idea that the most obvious issues or the most obvious problems somehow, they're still in the air, but it's, again, it opens up an imaginative space or a speculative space as to where those things are. And I think in an artwork like this, and maybe, I don't know, we have to be clear about what we're looking at.
Yeah.
I've been looking at a lot of construction sites and building sites, you know, and it's this thing about what are we building? Mm-hmm. So the foundations are the kind of integral part of making a building, you know, they're kind of about, building something new. But I'm beginning to think about it that in regards to sort of forms of protest and, what is going on there? So it raises questions about these sort of things.
With my questions, I just try to kind of see who's your public, like, who do you want to show this, and are you also in, because when I think of an activist, it's about everyone who's living here, and you want to kind of spread the message. And if I think about art institutions, sometimes people who are not so acquainted with arts go there, but a lot of the time not. Maybe it would be interesting to have like a group of people who vandalized stuff to look at things. I want to know if you're interested in these people who do this and to in like
well,
other
it's
people.
Well, funnily enough, at the helicopter space, my first visit to the space is you have to go through a little garden, which is in the Polish community in The Hague. And outside the doors, it's a chosen hangout spot for certain members of the Polish community. And I'm telling you, they are people who are drinking cans of beer with bull terrier dogs. And I had to pass through them to go into the space. Every day I was doing the installation, but they were actually really nice. And the funny thing was, though, as we were installing in the show and maybe with some of these photos outside, they were getting curious and looking, but they wouldn't enter. And I would invite them in, but they didn't want to go in. For them, art was something they could not... I don't know, maybe they were just too busy getting drunk or something, but... There were some funny little incidents. Someone was actually shouting through the window because I'd had a board on the window. It's in the catalogue with three targets on it. You know, targets are like this.
Yeah, crosses.
And someone was shouting, but we couldn't quite hear what they were. I wasn't there, but they didn't hear what they were saying. But so they were starting to provoke reactions, you know. And I mean, I come from Cardiff in Wales, right? And that is... There are some insanely rough areas there. And also living in London for like 15 years, you know, one minute you're in Bond Street, the next minute you're in the East End, and, you know, it's quite...
big contrast.
These high contrasts, they've always been in my life, and they've always been really important.
Nieuwsgierig naar het werk van David? Bezoek dan zijn website www.davidpowell.nl. Meer informatie over Ground vind je op www.groundfestival.nl. Next up, Jorik de Kwaasteniet met zijn Moon Mission 2030.